Let's open the scriptures for our next reading. This one comes from Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 29. Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the authority of your word. Help us to listen attentively and respectfully and reverently to your instruction as you show us the way of wisdom in our lives. We just pray now for your help in our hearing, and especially in our obedience to what we hear you saying to us now through the preached word. We pray this for your glory. Amen. Well, wind and water have been in the headlines a lot recently, and Hurricane Ida was a big part of that, wrecking lives, destroying property, especially in Louisiana, and eventually making its way up the coast to the northeastern United States, where it dropped record amounts of rainfall. The storm even spawned some tornadoes, one of them in Annapolis. So some of the effects of this storm were reasonably close by to us too. And when you consider all the death and destruction that was caused by Ida, it may seem a little unsettling today to arrive at church, open the scriptures, and be confronted with a story about a natural disaster. It's usually not a good idea to try to make a point by building on somebody else's misery and suffering, but Jesus can be excused in this morning's scripture because he's talking about a hypothetical situation. According to Jesus, there were two men. Each one decided to build a new house. The first one picked a sound location where workers could dig deep and lay foundations on solid rock. He selected a good contractor, used quality building materials. But no sooner had the project been completed than a vicious storm came up. Torrential rain, howling winds, local streams and rivers overflowed their banks, and water came rushing through. By the time it was all over, the power was still out for a few days. There were trees down. There were other kinds of damage done. But everything else about that man's house, though there was some damage around it and slightly to it, everything else about that man's house was basically solid and still intact. The other man, we're told, had built his house not far away. He, too, had picked a good contractor who was known for quality work, so that wasn't really an issue. But this man's choice of location didn't really make sense. Instead of building on solid ground, he decided to break ground in the sandy bed of a dry river that was empty, a seasonal river. Maybe he thought the river was dead and gone. But when the storm that I just described moment ago plowed through this area, there was a wall of water that gushed through and engulfed his home. Destruction, devastation, tore the house to shreds. Folks in that community hadn't seen flooding like that in decades. So here we have two men who both embarked on the same project. And by the time that all their work was done and the last light bulb was screwed in, both of them were pleased and proud of their new home. But then, as we heard, meteorological disaster struck, and one of them was left with minor damage and a solid weather-tested house to occupy. The other one was left with awful memories of his house being smashed to pieces by the forces of nature. He had no flood insurance. He had no place to go. Thankfully, the government helped provide some shelter for him. And the local church, one of them even showed up with chainsaws and some supplies and some comfort. So when we look back on that particular story, what made the difference in how these two stories turned out? Why did one man end up sort of picking up some debris around his yard, and the other man end up picking up the pieces of his life in a way after what had happened? Why did one man end up sleeping in his own house and the other man end up sleeping in a FEMA trailer? What was going on here in these circumstances? According to Jesus, the answer to these kinds of questions isn't so much a matter of who or what or when. It's more about where. It's about location. It's about wise and foolish choices of a construction site, because in the story, the foolish man built as wisely in a way, quality-wise, as the wise man did in construction, but he made the disastrous mistake of erecting his place on a very precarious foundation. The location was the issue. In fact, it turned out to be no foundation at all. And Jesus says, the difference in this case between the wise man and the foolish man is the difference between those who actually do the will of God and those who don't. And how are we to know God's will so that we can do it? Well, through Jesus. Jesus himself is the embodiment and arrival of God's kingdom, the one who reveals the will of God and the purpose of God and enacts the will and purpose of God. Remember that today's scripture passage is actually the conclusion of what we often refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. In this portion of Matthew, Jesus is teaching his disciples and teaching them about the kind of life that they're called to live. He's showing us what life looks like in the reign of God, among the people of God, according to the will of God. In the Sermon on the Mount, we've heard Jesus teach through the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, and so on. We've heard Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount teaching about salt and light, about loving enemies, about praying, about giving to the needy, about laying up treasures in heaven, about not being anxious, about not judging, about taking the narrow gate in life rather than the wide and destructive gate. So Jesus has covered a lot of ground so far in chapters 5 to 7 of Matthew, and he brings all that to a resounding conclusion, a decisive conclusion, by telling this story about the wise and the foolish builders. He rounds it off with this statement. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So the people who listened to Jesus weren't merely impressed. They were amazed. The word translated there from the Greek is a strong word. It means basically they were in shock at what they had just heard. They were astounded at Jesus' authority. And that doesn't mean that they were primarily impressed by Jesus' charisma or the volume and tone of his voice or his skills in rhetoric and communication. That's not primarily what it was about. Matthew means that they recognized Jesus as God's representative, in a sense, acting in God's purposes and for God's will and what God intended. God is present in Jesus, and that's part of what this Sermon on the Mount reveals. God is present in Jesus, and God is moving in a new and decisive way to bring in his reign through Christ, which means that Jesus himself, not necessarily a book or a body of laws or a tradition, is the primary authority of God operating in the world. And Jesus embodies the kind of living that's required of God, what God wants of us and expects of us as his people. And that's actually where this parable puts the accent on living, not just knowing. The emphasis here is on living what Jesus teaches, not just knowing it, not just hearing it. Keep in mind that just before this story of the wise and the foolish builders, Jesus talks about and warns followers of Jesus about Christian prophets who may show up and mislead the community of Christ followers. So how can you spot them? How can you spot them? By their fruit, says Jesus. If they bear good fruit, then you'll know that they're my disciples, he says. But if they don't bear good fruit, then you'll have good reason to be suspicious. Just because, he says, someone knows and says all the right beliefs, Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus is Savior, Jesus is Son of God, just because someone knows and confesses those kinds of things, says Jesus, or even has the ability to perform spectacular miracles, doesn't mean that they'll enter the everlasting reign of God. At the final judgment, he says, what will count is whether you've done the will of God revealed in Jesus Christ, not simply confessed him as Lord, but had him as Lord in your life and in your behavior, your attitudes, your actions. That's the purpose of the church, to be a community of people who are committed to doing the will of God that's revealed in Jesus. That's what we are as a church. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And that's true not just for individual believers, but for the community of disciples too. The church, Jesus Christ's fellowship, every Christian congregation, including our congregation, is a construction project. And one of the critical questions about any construction project, of course, is not just what you're going to build with, but where you're going to build. Location. There's a woman named Barb Lee. She tells about a small Methodist church near the ocean in Swan Quarter, North Carolina. And in 1876, there was a hurricane, came through, did a lot of damage to the church and to the town. And the folks in the church decided to restore the church. The town got back some of its life and recovered. And then another hurricane came along and did a huge amount of damage to the church and to the town. So the folks in the church decided they'd had enough. They searched around for another piece of property in the area, found one, made a generous offer to the owner, but he refused it. Well, it wasn't long till another hurricane came, and this one had as much punch to it as the others. In fact, the church in this case was raised off of its moorings. The folks in the church tied ropes to it, held onto the ropes to try to keep it there where it was, but eventually it got away and drifted, meandered along with the water. When the water receded, it was a pretty remarkable sight. The church had actually come to rest on that piece of property that they had tried to purchase from the other gentleman. So they wanted to make another offer, but again he refused. He said, I won't accept that offer, but I will give this piece of property to you because it's clear that God wants this church on this location. The sign in front of the church from that day forward read, "The house God moved." Now, though our church didn't exactly start out in this particular location, I think it's safe to say that the Lord has certainly wanted us on this lot for the past 63 years. So today, as we reflect on and rejoice in our congregation's anniversary, remember that we didn't float to this spot. We were built on this spot. And more importantly, we were built on a location called Jesus, a foundation called Jesus. We were constructed on this solid foundation of discerning and doing the will of God that's revealed in Jesus Christ, who is Messiah and exalted Lord. That building of our congregation and the location called Jesus, that's the reason that we're here, still worshiping, still working, still witnessing by the help and power of the Holy Spirit. Fact is, our church has withstood many different kinds of storms, meteorological storms, gone through times of war and peace and all kinds of other national events, international events, cultural struggles and upheaval, times of peace and flourishing as well, gone through many different kinds of storms, and still going through this current storm of the coronavirus pandemic. The threats and hardships created by COVID-19 are actually something that our church has never faced or been through in its life. But within all the hardships and the struggles of this ongoing pandemic and its effects on world, nation, community, and our church, there's opportunity as well. The opportunity for us to examine what really are our foundations in our lives. What are we building our lives on individually and as families? What are we building and sustaining our church on? A good opportunity in the midst of all that's happening to reflect on what are we building on as a congregation, to see if and when and where we're still placing our ultimate trust in things that are not as stern, not as firm and steady as we may have thought they were, and that have changed, and how we can build on what really is steady and firm and reliable, this foundation called Jesus Christ. Fact is, our church is still a work in progress, so we need to make sure that whatever we're building, we're still building on the foundation of the one who has come to reveal the will of God and his saving purposes through his death and resurrection, and to embody what Jesus teaches us to do the will of God, no matter how countercultural those kinds of values may be in the midst of the world, to stay faithful to what God has shown us in Christ. Back in 2008, Orthodox Church officials in Russia discovered that one of their churches had disappeared. It was a 200-year-old structure northeast of Moscow. It had once been used as a school for disabled children, but during the Soviet era, it was closed down and had really been unoccupied for about 10 years. Well, it came to a point where the church was starting to grow a little bit again, so they decided that they would be interested in reopening this particular building, this particular piece of property. But that's when they discovered that it wasn't there anymore. They did some investigating and discovered that the reason behind it were villagers from another nearby town who had been coming and taking bricks from the church and selling them to a local businessman. They got 4 rubles for each brick, about 1 cent in the, excuse me, I had it backwards, they got 1 ruble for each brick, about 4 cents in value. So here was a church It didn't vanish through a violent storm. It didn't vanish because a bulldozer came through and pushed it down. It vanished because it was taken apart, one brick at a time, and it vanished. There's virtually nothing left. When you arrived here today, you gave thanks with me and with everyone else that our church is still here. Brick walls intact, resting on foundations that have provided stability for more than 6 decades. But in another sense, there are bricks being laid too, beyond just the literal structure that we're in here today. Bricks that are still being laid faithfully, one day at a time, day by day, week by week, as the congregation gets built. According to the scriptures, you and I, it says, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. So each believer is a living brick that God takes and assembles into a dwelling place for his presence, a community of Christ people where God is present and working and his glory is being displayed. Sometimes we may feel like we as a church are being built from the ground up. In other words, God is doing something new and creative. That's probably what folks felt like 63 years ago at the beginning of our church's story. Sometimes we feel like we're being built from the ground up. And then there may be other times where we feel like we're being rebuilt, as under current circumstances with the effects of COVID-19. We may feel like we're being rebuilt as we work at trying to regather the people or restart programs that had to be closed or have gone idle in some way. The good news is that whether we're building or rebuilding, as in the present, the foundation hasn't changed. The foundation remains the will of God revealed in Jesus Christ to us, and our hearing, but especially our doing of God's will in Christ. That's the foundation. So let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for showing us your will for us through Jesus Christ. Help us in our lives to not only hear it, but do it. And on that solid foundation, continue to build this congregation. Thank you again for your faithfulness and your provision and your guidance and work across all these years. Enable each of us in our lives, in our homes, and especially in our church to continue to build on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And especially during the time and place of our story where we are now in this pandemic, guide us in our rebuilding. Thank you that the foundation is the same. Help us to be living bricks assembled by you for your praise and glory as your people. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.